A big weekend of college football awaits, especially if you love to see conference title games. And with the new college football playoff, and the committee's got some choices to make depending on the outcomes of these conference championship games. Joining me now on Del Aware to discuss what's at stake this very weekend on the college gridiron is Chuck Culpepper. He's a sports writer for the Washington Post and at WashingtonPost.com. Chuck, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
The headline, and I realize you didn't necessarily write it yourself, but I think it sums up what's at stake here for at least the CFP committee. Don't disparage the committee's choices. Pity its bad luck. This is kind of the worst setup for the committee since the college football playoff was instituted back in 2014, is it not?
It could be if all the favorites win this weekend, as favorites tend to do in conference championship games. So, yes, it very much could be their hardest call so far. They had one in 2014 that was pretty hard, but I would say this one would be harder if this puzzle turns out after the games this weekend the way that Las Vegas thinks it will turn out.
Well, for the uninitiated or casual fan, they might hear you say, well, if the favorites win, why is that problematic for the committee? Let's first run down who's currently, and again, for the casual fan, you might not know that the college football playoff involves the top four teams that the committee selects. And the top four teams in descending order right now, Chuck, are...
Really, we have seven candidates for these four spots, and the top four right now are number one, Ohio State, number two, LSU, number three, Clemson, number four, Georgia. And then there are three other teams just outside the current mix who have a shot at the playoff, number five, Utah, number six, Oklahoma, number seven, Baylor. So from those seven, four will be chosen.
So right now, Georgia's sitting pretty. They've got one loss, that 11-1, and they are one of those teams involved in the Power Five conference title games as they'll go up against number two, LSU, this weekend. So LSU's favored. How does LSU winning muddy the situation for the committee?
Georgia is sitting pretty at four. Then it has that schedule problem of having to play LSU in the Southeastern Conference championship game in Atlanta. And what happens then is if the favored LSU wins, then Georgia would have two losses. And judging by this happened just last year to Georgia, where it lost in the SEC championship game. And in that game, which then was against Alabama, it was Georgia had a nice lead. And had Georgia won that game, it was in the playoff with one loss only.
Mm-hmm.
But it lost, and that second loss, the committee has yet to pick a team with two losses in any of the six seasons of this concept. So that second loss knocked it out. You know, if Georgia loses a game to LSU that's a classic, that goes to overtime or something like that, or that reveals both teams to be great, flatters both teams as some games do,
right,
it's possible. I could see it where the committee would say, okay, they've got two losses, but boy, they were special, and we're going to keep them right there at number four. But that's unlikely.
So that means someone presumably below them, five, six, or seven, Utah, Oklahoma, or Baylor, would leapfrog them. And further presumption, likely the Big 12 winner, which is six, Oklahoma, versus seven, Baylor. But not so fast, because you have Clemson sitting at three. They themselves are involved in their own conference tilt against Virginia in the Atlantic Coast Conference. They're likely to win, but say they don't, what happens? That would be a real shakeup. Is that what the committee wants?
You're one of the very few people of the millions of college football followers who's asking this question. And for that reason, none of us have really given thought to this question because none of us have the slightest inkling that Clemson could lose that game, which is, you know, it's strange. I guess you could always lose. And, you know, Virginia's a good team with a terrific quarterback.
Sure.
But none of us, you know, Clemson is 67-4 over the last five seasons. It has won now 15 games in a row last year, 12 this year, so 27 game winning streak. Yeah, none of us expect. Now, if Clemson was to lose that, there's a possibility it could drop out because it's perceived as playing in a weak conference. And when you go through all the schedules, you know, that's accurate that it's a weaker conference than, say, the Big Ten or the Southeastern Conference. So, yes, if Clemson were to lose, sure, that would become very messy.
But Ohio State likely will beat Wisconsin, even though Wisconsin's a very good team. Ohio State has run the table this year in impressive fashion. They seem to hold Wisconsin's number, especially when the teams have met in the Big Ten title game.
And then also the thinking goes, that both Ohio State and LSU are going to be in the playoff, win or lose, on Saturday.
So they're in.
That really leaves us with five contestants for two spots.
Yeah. And Clemson, a all but elementary
yes.
expectation that they will win that ACC title game. So they stay at three. Now, if the LSU is beating Georgia in the SEC, Georgia would drop, and that would open up the opportunity for Utah at five, who's in the Pac-12 and taking on Oregon in that conference's championship game. Should Utah win and then say Oklahoma win, and this is what you write about in your column, that's where the committee has an unenviable task. Lay out what they're juggling there, because there really are a lot of similarities between the teams.
Well, I believe that there is no wrong or right answer to that, which is a terrible way to put an equation to a committee that's going to have to decide and disappoint one team and set of coaches and fan base as well. But that is just the more you go into the numbers of Oklahoma and Utah, the messier it gets, and the more you feel like you're in some sort of labyrinth and you can't get out. And you can start with, does one of them play in a better conference? Yes, Oklahoma probably, but very, very slightly better, you would say. Both of them have lost a game. Did one of them have a more forgivable loss? Yes, Utah did at Southern California in September when its key running back, Zach Moss, didn't play most of the game. But Oklahoma's loss was at Kansas State, and that's an 8-4 team. That's good. So that margin is slight. Oklahoma would have three wins over ranked teams. Utah would have only one, so there's an edge there. But Utah has shown a lot more sort of, shall we say, respect for the game this year. They have avoided complacency better. They've controlled games. And one of the things the committee takes into account in close cases is how well game control, they call it, how well a team's controlled the games. Well, Utah has been masterful, especially on defense. Then you look at the stats. Utah's defense is number three in the country. Oklahoma's offense is number one. But Utah's offense is higher ranked than Oklahoma's defense, even though both have pretty good rankings. The non-conference schedule, Utah's was slightly better with BYU in the mix and is the only winning team non-conference that any of them played. So the more you get into it, the more you think, it's just hard to see how they would decipher it. And it may come down to how well each plays, even in a victory this weekend. If Utah is masterful again and routes a number 12 ranked Oregon, that might give it an edge if Oklahoma got into another scrap with Baylor as it did a few weeks ago in Waco. So it's very hard. I think it's really, really hard to figure out, harder than the case that's well known from 2014 where the committee picked Ohio State over Baylor and TCU.
Yeah, well, fortunately, one thing the committee has going for it, and the rest of us fans in terms of trying to follow along and guess what the committee might do, is that we'll have some clarity as early as tonight, because Utah plays Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game on Friday night, whereas Oklahoma will have to take on Baylor in the Big 12 championship game on Saturday. So certainly if the Ducks should prevail over Utah, then that sort of opens the door for the winner of the Big 12 championship game, should Georgia not prevail over LSU. If you're still hanging with Chuck and me, you're doing real well.
By the way, as a nation, we are all mad.
Yes.
The day that we send 100,000 people to stadiums to watch college students play, which the rest of the world never can quite believe, but B, that we have a committee that sits near the Dallas-Fort Worth airport with 13 members and decides these things for everybody, and that we talk about it every week. But it sure is fun.
It sure is fun, and well said. I'll leave you with this final question. I personally have been clamoring for an expansion of the playoffs since they finally instituted it. I always thought that, and I'm not saying double it, because once you double it, then the argument is, well, why not double it a second time? I'm saying expand it to six. You give the top two teams in the country, which are typically heads and shoulders above the rest, first round bye, if you will. You let three play six, four play five. Lowest remaining seed plays one, higher remaining seed plays two, much like the NFL does in its six teams per conference postseason format. That's my take. What's yours? And do you think this year's potential confusion, or even if it's not a confusing situation for the committee this year, several more years of this sort of setup headed into the final week will almost prompt the college football to expand the playoffs?
I hate to be so equivocal about it, but I like the four, and I also like the idea of an eight. So an eight that would be that would add a game, but maybe subtract the conference championship games.
I see.
I don't see this coming down the pike anytime soon, you know, but I do think the momentum is headed that way, and I do think eventually in time and history we'll get to a point where there's either six, as you say, or eight. And eight is the one you hear the most. So I would think, I don't know, let me just guess, a decade ahead now. Wait a decade, and then there's eight. That's just a guess.
So any fan of a team on the outside looking in, whether it's this weekend or in the next several years, just remember Chuck Culpepper, my guest sports reporter from WashingtonPost.com, says, hey, there's relief on its way. I sure hope you're right, Chuck. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, eat well and take care of yourself, and maybe you'll see it someday.
Terrific. Thanks again.
Okay, thank you for having me.